Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
It is the Chris and Amy show on KMOX, and it is time to go to the guest line today as we visit with CBS Tech contributor Ian Scher, who is with us again. Good to talk to you, Ian. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Well, we're okay now that TikTok is back because it was offline for, what, about 12 hours or something like that, and then it was reinstated. So tell us about the entire situation. It's we know the Supreme Court upheld the ban of it, and then it was gone, and then President Trump comes in and decides to try and bring it back. So where do we stand right now, and how did this all go down?
Yeah, so the way it started was really interesting, right? It started with President Trump back during his first administration 5 years ago, wanting to ban the app because of national security concerns. Then President Biden picked up and said, I will actually ban the app if Congress gets a law passed. They did. He signed it. He put the ban into effect. And on the 19th, yesterday, it was supposed to be banned from the United States. Well, a little bit before that, TikTok announced that it was not going to be accessible anymore. And we spent about 12 hours where it wasn't. And then President Trump said that he would sign an order that would give TikTok a 90-day reprieve, essentially from being banned. And he's trying to get it sold or half sold or something like that. And in the meantime, TikTok has come back kind of lit up. And, it's interesting because it's one of those situations that's very weird, right? Where you have, first off, the president changed his mind, but also the government still makes these national security concern arguments. As you pointed out, the Supreme Court said that the law did pass constitutional muster. It wasn't violating the First Amendment. So it's really interesting to see how this is all playing out.
Yeah, well, constitutionally, it's a bit bizarre as well, because the measure was passed by Congress. It was signed by President Biden. And then as we neared the day of the ban, January 19th, when it would go into effect, Biden said he wasn't going to enforce it. And then Trump reassures TikTok that he is for TikTok, even though previously he was not. How is this reinstatement of TikTok even constitutional?
Yeah, it's really, I mean, I think part of what's interesting here is that it's based kind of on what the executive branch does, right? The executive branch decides whether or not a company or an app or whatever is a threat to national security. So not having seen the mechanisms through which Trump says he's going to be able to kind of give it a 90-day reprieve, my guess is that these national security concerns are going to start going by the wayside. And part of what's interesting about that, of course, is that there are people on Capitol Hill, in fact, even a number of conservative senators, who threatened U.S. companies while that ban was in effect, telling them that if you support TikTok, even though the president who's coming up says he supports it, you might be liable to investigation from the Department of Justice. So Apple and Google, for example, did not make TikTok available to their users, at least as of Sunday. And for quite a while have said it's banned under U.S. law, which is technically the truth.
So let's talk about the actual dangers of it. We have discussed or have heard that there is a data issue, that we don't want the Chinese government to have access to, some of this information. What is the real actual danger that the average person faces or the country does in terms of national security?
It, part of what's challenging about this is that even though this conversation started about 5 years ago, the U.S. government has not made a public case to the American people about why that national security threat exists. They gesture at things like Chinese intelligence gathering and stuff like that. But, you know, TikTok and its owner, ByteDance, say that they are a company that is based in China. They are not owned by the Chinese government. And there has been reporting that suggests that at least some Chinese intelligence has been able to access information inside of TikTok. But part of what's also interesting is that we kind of live in this environment where, you know, we have apps here in the States that are Facebook, Google, Instagram, you name them, that track a lot of information on us. And it's very normal. And so TikTok sits here and they say, well, wait a minute, you're just signaling us out because we're this massive social media company. We're based in China, but the companies that are based in the U.S. that do this, you don't seem to have a problem with.
Yeah, and that is, well, a couple of things. One, you could take it the television route, where a foreign state is not allowed to own an American television broadcast station. But then also, what was really interesting, as you mentioned, TikTok is not officially owned by the Chinese government, but the Chinese government censors and controls every company that exists in China, to the point that even in the Supreme Court decision, the Supreme Court, which assumes very little, assumed, took it for granted that, no, the Chinese government is involved heavily in every company owned by China.
Yeah, and that is certainly a reasonable concern. I think that's part of why the U.S. government has really struggled here, is that it's gesturing at these issues, but it's not actually providing facts. Mm-hmm. Now, what we do know is that there are a lot of tracking data that all of these apps have access to. My favorite example, in fact, was a running app several years ago that was very popular, and it had a public available map of the country where you could see where people were running all over the place. Well, if you zoomed in to some suspected areas where it's thought that we had nuclear weapons sitting, you could suddenly see there were running routes people had that were very similar to what a military installation would look like. And sure enough, these people didn't realize it, right? They were just using the app for fun, but they were trying to track their runs every day. And it just so happened that it disclosed a national secret. So, you know, there is a lot of really sensitive information that we give off in our phones all the time. And it's probably notable that even inside the White House, at least under the Biden administration and Trump before, it's not allowed to bring your phone into secure places, because even if you say it's turned off or whatever, they don't really trust it.
You know, it's funny that this is a conversation now, and it's clearly it's one of the bigger stories of, you know, currently that we have. But I do recall when TikTok first became a thing several years ago, I don't remember where I heard it. I don't know if it was a friend or if it was, you know, on the news, where they were saying, do not put TikTok on your phone because the security is terrible. So and it wasn't a good app to have on your phone. What were they talking about? Was that nonsense or was there something to it?
Well, I'll say this. A number of other places, states, countries all over the place have made similar moves. It's really hard to tell, right? There are a lot of indications that there could be a real risk here. And in fact, one of the interesting things that came of all of this is that as a kind of protest vote, some people started downloading other Chinese social networks, one called Red Note, for example, where they said, oh, I don't care. I'll let the Chinese have access to my data. I don't care. I just want access to these algorithms and these video stuff and all of that. And it, you know, the question, of course, came up, well, should the government also ban these other Chinese social networks? And that's part of where this gets really interesting, right? Yes, there's been concern about TikTok for a long time. There have been concerns about a lot of companies for a long time. The question is, why TikTok? Why now? And it seems that the answer that the government gives is not enough to answer why single out that company individually.
And also, from what you know of tech companies like an Instagram, that it's created to be sold, right? That's where the money is selling this company, this algorithm, this app, this platform that you've built. What does it say about the value or the Chinese government perception of value of TikTok if ByteDance is turning down a billions and billions of dollars sale? Normally, if you are beholden to your shareholders, you take that sale.
Well, you take that sale if you believe it's the best price. And that's part of the key here, right? Is that when companies are selling themselves and they don't sell for the right price, oftentimes shareholders will sue and say, you didn't get enough money for us. So it kind of goes many different ways. And sure enough, I mean, when we were talking about something the size, right, half of the U.S. population and one of the biggest social networks in the world, we're no longer operating on a scale of simply selling a company anymore. We're now talking about running a population online that is almost the size of a country or larger than many countries. And so it's about influence. It's about power. It's about being a titan of industry at that point, which is why you see people like Mark Zuckerberg, when Facebook was offered $1 billion by Yahoo, he turned them down, right? And look where he is now.
So if it does get sold, we've heard a lot about Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank being interested. Who is the most likely buyer?
It's really hard to tell. And I know I say that a lot, but what's particularly interesting about TikTok is we have gone through so many different public buyers, right? And most notably, Microsoft for a while tried to buy it. That did not go well. Oracle, which is a kind of database company for businesses, tried, did not succeed. There were many other efforts. And of course, part of the other challenge here is that TikTok is so large and so valuable that the only people who really have access to the money that it would take to buy TikTok are tech companies who probably would not be able to get past a concern of from the FTC that they are creating a monopoly. So all of these things become much more complex as a result.
Ian Scher, tech contributor for CBS. As always, we appreciate your time. Thank you for talking with us today.
Absolutely.
It is the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
The county just requested more electric charging stations.
Orders have really amped up at Able Electric.
We need 3 more at First in Maine, and we just got another hotel chain.
It's no shock. Able Electric needs Able electricians.
Grocery store wants charging stations, too.
And fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, I have to tell you, I was just looking on eBay where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying, just beautiful.
Well, Mayor Tashara Jones, along with city officials, announced today that they have struck a compromise on their plans for the Rams settlement money, $290 million. So this, according to the Post-Dispatch, downtown will get $74 million to boost development and fix up streets and sidewalks. And don't forget, the private sector has promised to match that investment, which is a good thing. About $11 million will be earmarked to redevelop the vacant Railway Exchange building. North City will get $40 million for roads and development, and projects in struggling neighborhoods on the north and southeastern sides will get priority when the city spends the other $90 million in settlement cash dedicated to streets, development, and housing citywide. That does not include downtown. So that extra $90 million, downtown will be ineligible for that. The mayor, along with Aldermanic President Megan Green, had proposed a plan to spend some of that money to pay for childcare and college scholarships for the children of city employees, as well as extra training for city workers. But those plans will be scaled back.
Well, so I guess it's a little bit of progress. I'm not exactly sure how to read it other than I appreciate the compromise aspect of this, that not everybody is getting everything they want, which is kind of how things should go. And there's some give and take there. I know that, at least according to the reporting that we've seen, that both Mayor Jones and Alderwoman Green were not as keen on spending in infrastructure downtown.
Right.
Which I get it, because look, we have so many different things that need to be tackled all at once, which is difficult to do, but we do have a windfall of cash that should be able to help. But when we are looking at St. Louis, there has to be investment in downtown. There has to be improvement in terms of infrastructure downtown, because as we have said a million times before, your downtown is your city center. And it is the first thing that anybody from out of town is going to be exposed to. When people come here from somewhere else, they're not going to Clayton first. They're not going to Chesterfield. They're not going to South City. They're going downtown. Or at least that's where most people will start. So if your downtown is not presentable, it's going to make your whole region look insufficient.
Yeah.
And I look, there are, like I said, a number of different things that need to be tackled. We do have a lot of issues on the north side. There's a lot of disinvestment, underinvestment in the north side of the city, which we need more of that too. It's just that if your city center is not strong, you're going to have difficulty throughout the region.
And also, you can't forget the private sector's promise to match the city's investment downtown. That's huge. Whatever amount of money that you take from this Rams settlement payout and invest in downtown, Greater St. Louis, the private sector, is going to match that. Comptroller Darlene Green said the city would be foolish not to take that deal. Alderman Joel Vollmer from The Hill, he said, quote, programs are nice, but when you have matching money from GSL, you can't overlook that.
Right.
And it's true. And to me, I mean, you've said this a lot, that in order to make downtown work, it's going to take investment not just from the city, but also from the private sector. And this is the private sector putting its money up, putting its money where its mouth is, saying we're going to help invest in downtown. And like you said, the heart of the city, that main artery running through your downtown where tourists go, that is critical to have it be an impressive, thriving, and safe thoroughfare. It needs to be the heart of the city. And I get it. You have to take care of the neighborhoods, too. I mean, we've been talking about plowing.
Yeah.
Plow your neighborhoods. Plow Soulard. But it is important to make sure that the downtown is as sparkling as you can get it, because that's what people think of when they think of St. Louis. That's what tourists think of. That's what businesses think of. That's what people think when they come to the Busch Stadium or Enterprise Center. You need downtown
to be thriving.
Well,
that goes for any city in the country. People aren't going to Chicago and talking about Naperville.
I have been to Naperville.
Well, yeah, and a lot of people have, but you're just not. You don't care about Naperville.
No,
you care about the city because that's what matters. That's where all the tourist stuff is. That's where the action is. So naturally, when you have visitors, that's what they're going to care about. And really, downtown should, I think, get the greatest chunk of this money, because let's not forget, the reason we have it is because a downtown tenant left us. So that money should be invested downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it should be, because the Rams left town. And where did they live? Downtown. So it's a natural thing to happen with that money. And hopefully whatever does get done with all of this cash, as you mentioned, you went through the breakdown of it. The city center downtown will get $74 million out of that. $40 million is going to go to the north side. And $11 million specifically is going to the Railway Exchange Building. This is all from STLtoday.com. So this is all right, good. You know, I don't know. I don't know what to think of it until things actually start to happen. Mm-hmm. But I guess this is a step forward. but you're not really going to see the fruits of it for, what, a couple of years at least?
And if this is not a transformative rejuvenation, restoring of the city of St. Louis, then we blew it. Because you're not going to get this money again. Sorry, you've already lost two NFL teams.
Yeah.
You're not going to get another one.
The second one was not our fault.
Not our fault, but I mean, you're not getting that money again. And
No. Right.
Yeah. And so you better look at the city of St. Louis and go, man, pre-2025 or whenever they start doing it, 2026, pre-2025 St. Louis and post-2025 St. Louis, totally different. Look how far we've come. Look how great the city is. Look at the restaurants. Look at the people. Look at the safety. Look at the neighborhoods. I am.
Show me Detroit.
I am afraid. It's not going to be transformative.
If Detroit can do it and they are on the rebound, no question they're on the rebound. They still have their issues. They still have their issues in parts of the city. Mm-hmm. But as far as downtown goes, they are making massive advancements.
But they turned around for the opposite reason. They turned around because they declared bankruptcy and they took the power out of the hands of elected officials and gave it to a lawyer for 2 years. And here we've got a windfall of money and all the power is in our elected officials who don't know how to plow the streets.
The texter here says the airport will forever be a horrible first impression. Downtown is not the only problem. And here's another texter who says, I'll save this one.
Okay.
I want to get to it when we come back. We continue to talk about the Rams settlement money. A little bit of a development happening today on that. Amy Marks-Kors and Chris Ranji on KMOX. See, I didn't know it was REO Speedwagon until they started singing. Am I supposed to know this song?
Why is there a monkey in the song?
There was a monkey. What is this called?
Easy Money.
Isn't there
Easy
a song
money.
Called, like, Catch the Monkey?
Shock the Monkey by Peter Gabriel.
That's right.
Is that about drugs?
It might be.
What does it mean to shock the monkey?
That's what I'm asking. Is it about drugs?
It sounds illegal or immoral.
Something you can't do at work.
Oh, my gosh.
You cannot shock the monkey. Can't, dude. Come on, bro. You can't say stuff like that. Cannot say stuff like that. Can't spank it either. So let's do this. Let's do this. There was a text message that came in as we were talking about downtown and the Rams settlement money coming in. And there's been a compromise with some city leaders, including Mayor Jones. Yep. And this texter says that I totally agree with you about downtown. I used to work there. And when we were on our lunch breaks, visitors would stop us and ask, where is all the shopping and the best places down here? And we would just look at each other and say, because you don't know where to send anybody.
I honestly don't know where I would shop downtown. I mean, I know there's a shop on Washington, but I don't know if it's a, I don't know if it's still open because I don't go to Washington. I work downtown. I never go to Wash Ave.
In terms of shopping, there really isn't anything. I think that if I ran into tourists, I guess I would tell them, I guess go Washington Avenue and just walk up the street because I'm not really sure. See, this is a really great question. If you had visitors downtown and you ran into them and they said, where do we go downtown?
Yeah.
Where would you tell them to go?
Well, like shopping. You mean not...
Like middle of the day, afternoon.
Yeah. They've already seen the arch.
Seen the arch.
Yeah. And the old courthouse.
So we're not talking tourist attractions.
No.
We're talking where do you go to just, you know, stroll?
That is a great question.
I honestly don't know what I'd tell them.
So I would say there's... And again, please call in and correct us. I work downtown. I don't go to Wash Ave because I think after COVID, things changed, places closed. I used to go to Park Avenue Coffee sometimes. That's about it. I know there's a Starbucks in the Marriott, I think, across from the convention center. Yeah, that's it. But no, if a tourist said, hey, I've already seen the old courthouse and, the arch grounds and everything, where should I stroll? And I would probably say, Well, there's not really any shopping, but you could walk through, you know, City Garden.
Yeah, I mean, that's
look at the art there, but that's not
nice.
Shopping. If they said, where do I spend my money downtown? That's a better question. Where should I go spend my money? I would say, well, unless you go buy alcohol or coffee.
I guess you could go to Union Station, right?
Isn't that Midtown? Does that count as downtown? No, that's downtown.
Well, it's downtown west.
Downtown west.
So I guess you could go there. That I mean, that's I hate that we're asking this question and don't have a good answer for it.
Where would you tell people to go to shop or spend money?
I think you would tell them to leave downtown.
I would.
You tell them to go somewhere else.
I have. I have told friends, and people can be mad at me. I get it. But I have told friends who are visitors, don't use the Metrolink and don't stay downtown. Just don't.
I don't think the Metrolink is bad. I've used it quite a bit. The only thing about it is it's a pretty good walk from where I live, so it's not like it's super convenient, but I'm not afraid to ride it.
I have
no problem riding it.
During the All-Star game, when the Blues had the All-Star game in 2020, I think it was 2020.
2019.
Well, I think it was January, though, so I think it was 2020, because they had it
you're right.
So it was like
the
very beginning, right before COVID. Yep. And in January, the Canadian women's national team was in St. Louis, and there was a hotel worker, because I talked to some of the women on that team, and she said, yeah, she told us not to walk around at night, and there's really nowhere to, don't walk to dinner. So they sent them, the hotel said, we suggest you go to Clayton if you want to walk around and get dinner.
It's honestly your best bet. You could go to the Central West End. That's not bad either.
Yeah.
There's stuff there. There are some shops. There's a lot of places that you can eat.
That's not good if the hotel told the Canadian women's national team, because they also knew it was a liability. You're not going to send them out there at night, downtown St. Louis, where they're not familiar.
Well, that's what we're talking about here, is that there has to be, so all of those people who were here, they went back to wherever they live, and if somebody said, hey, how was St. Louis? They go, oh, well, geez, there was nowhere for us to go, you know? And that's what you don't want. Mm-hmm. You don't want the bad press. You certainly don't want the bad word of mouth either.
No.
Because if you get that, then if that's what people spread to others, then it's just the narrative about your city continues.
So
we have to have improvements downtown.
On the StreamYard, a commenter said, you can't shop downtown anymore. Old post office, city museum, or the Galleria. Of course, the Galleria is Richmond Heights.
Yeah. But there really isn't anywhere that you can just go for a stroll and walk. Oh, well, maybe the Landing now a little bit. It's gotten better. There's not a whole lot down there, but they've made improvements.
So that you can get like baked goods and coffee, but do they have stores?
I don't know about that.
Because you know what the Landing should look like? Old downtown St. Charles. That place is amazing.
You're right.
All the cobblestone and the history and the restaurants and the coffee shops and the stores and the craft show stores and olive oil stores. I mean, you can spend money in downtown St. Charles. You can go there, buy all sorts of stuff. That's what the Landing should be. And they should have, it should be family friendly now. I know they're trying to change it, right? It's not just parties. Family friendly, where on the holidays you have the carolers and the historic characters like they do in downtown St. Charles.
But also I'm going to say that downtown St. Charles is also, it's always been a bit of an attraction. We used to go there when I was a kid, too.
Oh,
the 80s, it was a thing. My parents liked to go down there. My grandparents liked to go down there. So, I mean, we were choosing that over downtown St. Louis. You could go to the St. Louis Center, the mall that was here for a little bit.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal at the time when it was here. But
I think I must have missed that. It must have been phasing out by the time
St. Louis Center.
Yeah, by the time I was old enough to remember.
Yeah, it's such a great question, and I hate the fact that we can ask that question and not have a good definitive answer to give the people.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about downtown, because I know you go to Grand, you go south on Grand, South Grand, there are stores like Urban Matter. There are restaurants. But South Grand is very different than downtown. If you are downtown, you've walked to the Arch, you've seen the old courthouse, where do you go to spend money? Union Station, is it? There are no stores?
Text message here says, if someone was to ask me where to go downtown and they mentioned they've been to the Arch in the old courthouse already, I would tell them that a baseball game would be neat to go to in the summer or a hockey game in the winter. However, if you just want to hang out other than Ballpark Village and some of the clubs and bars in that area, there is no place to go down there.
Yeah.
I would also mention to them that if you want to hang out downtown, I would leave before it gets dark because that's when the carnage is. And
yeah.
I mean, it does happen. I'm not, look, I just don't have a whole lot of fear being downtown at night. But it is, my issue with it is the lack of stuff, the lack of things to do.
So would you, I never liked walking at night from here, from our building to Enterprise, which is what, a half mile maybe across the park?
Yeah.
And I would, the only time I did it was if there were tons of people on the streets because it was the Stanley Cup, right? And all the parties were on the streets. After the game, if people were still around post game, I could walk with someone. Things changed after 2020. It's just, it's dead now. I wouldn't walk from here to Enterprise. It's a half mile. I wouldn't do it. And I had a friend who moved here from California, and he went to the 4th of July, the Fair St. Louis, this past one, excited to do something downtown. Guess where he was? Where the shooting and the fireworks were after Fair St. Louis. He's like, man, people said downtown was dangerous, but people were just shooting at people. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's not made up. And if you can't keep your big festival safe, then yeah, people aren't going to feel safe walking
also
around.
That's sort of a one-off incident too. I'm not going to make that into, this happens every single night downtown. That was an incident. It's unfortunate. It's not good. I get that it's not good, but it isn't like that every single night down here. And I would also tell you, I don't feel, being downtown, that it is much different than it was before the pandemic. Maybe a little bit, but I have the same amount of desire to be in the city center now that I did in 2018. Same.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's any different or worse or whatever.
Less, and I've been coming every day since 2016. And, you know, Charlie Brennan, the people who work down here, will say the same thing. When you were down here every single day, 2016, 2017, 18, 19, there was a change. And for me, it wasn't a slow change because Charlie Brennan and I broadcasted remotely for so long during COVID, like over a year. So I only knew 2016 to 2019. And then I showed up in 2021 and was really kind of stunned. It's kind of like if someone loses weight or gains weight, right? Like if you boil a frog and you see them every day, you don't notice it in the same way as if you haven't seen them in a year and you show up and go, oh my gosh, wow, you look markedly different. That's how the city is to me, which makes me sad because I mean, I was down here not only once a day, but sometimes twice a day because I'd be coming during the day and at night. And
I just don't feel it.
Yeah.
I don't feel that it's, I feel the exact same way about downtown St. Louis now that I did when I moved back here
in
17.
COVID plus the trolley destroyed so much of the loop, which I know the loop still has, you know, Del Mar Loop, I should say, has a lot going for
still has
it,
a lot going on there.
But it's very different. And with that, I was in the loop a lot. I mean, a lot during the day and at night. Even it was one of my favorite places, you know, to run or to just walk. And it just changed vibes. And yes, I will say, too, I think it is very fair that women are going to have a heightened awareness of feeling safe or people on the streets. Because anytime you get invited to a party, any woman will tell you the first thing you think of is, what's the parking situation? Guys don't think like that. You know, you're just always on guard. And so probably I think women would even notice it a bit more than men in general.
Well, no, we don't think the same way in that regard. But I am fully aware of what there is to do down here. And I don't think it's a whole lot different from when I first moved back.
Sorry, I'm saying not only what there is to do, but also the vibe, the safety, are there people milling about? You know, what kind of people are milling about and where? And that has changed.
A message from YouTube. You can watch us on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter if you like. You can also listen on the Odyssey app, of course. This message says downtown dining has changed. No Key Moles or Tony's. Tony's just closed or announced they were closing in Clayton. Mm-hmm. They moved from downtown to Clayton because I think they said, did they not say that downtown was not good for their business any longer?
Yeah, I know.
This was, what,
was
a year or two ago.
It wasn't great. And they could be, too, that Tony's was so... their identity was so tied in with being the fancy downtown restaurant that they might not have been able to survive the move. And it doesn't mean that downtown wasn't great. It may have been the end no matter what.
Well, Clayton didn't save them.
Right. But what I mean is they probably were going to go out of business downtown anyway. I mean, if I don't know, but if they were struggling downtown, they're trying to stay in business, and no, Clayton didn't save them. I forgot about Key Moles. Key Moles was around for, what, 100 years?
I don't know. I don't think I ever went to Key Moles, honestly. A lot of good things about it, I heard, though. We still have, Carmine's should still be there in the Drury, is it not? That's how little I'm over there. I don't even know.
I don't know. I've never been to Carmine's.
It is Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji. Of course, you can chime in. We'd love to hear from you. 314-436-7900. You can also drop us a voice message straight from the Odyssey app. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji, KMOX. Dave Glover's show is coming up at 1. We'll hang out with the gang for about an hour. Actually, exactly an hour.
I was going to say probably about exactly an hour. Yeah.
So we appreciate you listening throughout the day today. Your text messages at 314-436-7900 and your phone calls, like South St. Louis JR. What's up, JR?
Good morning. Here's what the city could spend some money on. Maybe a new newspaper. Did you realize that this morning's Post-Dispatch sports page had no mention of the playoff games over the weekend? Absolutely nothing.
Wait, the NFL playoff games?
Not one word about any football games in this morning's Post-Dispatch. So let me see if I got this right. A guy's from out of town. He pays $3 for this paper this morning. He opens it up, and not one word about any of the games played over the weekend. Now, I understand yesterday was a holiday, Martin Luther King Day. I understand that, but you got to give me a break. Well, not one word. Now, I called them, and I leave my name, but they won't call me back. Maybe you could use your influence to have them explain that.
JR,
not one word about the playoffs.
It's today. You're talking about today's paper?
Did they have a paper yesterday?
Oh, today's paper.
Yeah, well, it's Tuesday.
Yes, Tuesday.
Those
right.
Those games ended Sunday.
That's
so
right.
they would be in yesterday's paper.
There was no paper yesterday because it was a holiday.
There was no paper yesterday?
No paper yesterday. Dr. King Day, the new
they
union
posted
contract.
Stories.
Is it a paper? So. Are you talking about the physical paper?
Hmm.
The print?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Well, it was on STL today. You could. I appreciate the phone call.
I think
yeah, we should. We
I
should
think,
use some
honestly,
of that.
I think it's because they're. You know, they already cut down on some of their printing.
But you're also not going to print stories about the games that happened 2 days ago. You're just not. What are you going to do, recaps? You think you haven't seen a recap in 24, 36 hours? Appreciate the phone call, though. Yeah, I do think that let's just buy our own newspaper, you and me.
I think that would be good.
Let's bring back the St. Louis Sun.
What about, or the Globe Democrat?
The Globe Democrat.
Was that two newspapers that merged, the St. Louis Globe and the St. Louis Democrat?
Yeah,
because
probably.
What is a Globe Democrat?
I don't know.
I think they must have merged. We could do paper. So would we no longer have this show? I feel like we should not be a show anymore, but our dialogue could just be printed in the paper.
Yeah, that's fine.
A daily newsletter.
Oh my gosh, I love a good newsletter.
Oh, let's just do a Substack.
No, I don't want to do a Substack.
You don't want to do a Substack?
No, I want it to be an old-timey newsletter.
Okay.
On Microsoft Word with their newsletter formats.
Like we'll use an actual word processor to put it together?
Yeah. Mm. I was a big newsletter person.
Well, here's what I'm going to say to JR. Don't worry about the newspaper. Just keep listening to KMOX because I guarantee you we had the scores of the game all day yesterday. all last Sunday night.
I will say this, Jared, on all honesty, Tom Ackerman with the sports updates all morning, all day.
Yeah, he had updates in the morning. He was live from winter warm-up, probably talking about all the sports stuff.
What you ever need
is KMOX.
What if we're so good we put the sports section out of business?
Us?
KMOX.
Yeah. Well, that wouldn't be good for the people that are there working.
No, I guess not.
And Lynn Worthy, who just got the job as the columnist.
Oh, yeah.
At STLtoday.com.
Yeah.
He's great. Anyway, glad we solved your problem.
Thank you for calling.
Listen on the Odyssey app. If you download the app, you'll get all the scores you want. And you know what else you can get? Cardinals baseball.
You can. Also, did you know that you can podcast? Well, we podcast the show, so you can listen to the podcast. I highly recommend you subscribe to the Chris and Amy Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Then every hour, just bloop, 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 it automatically goes into your podcast folder. At any rate, we would love for you to listen to the podcast as well.
It's good for us.
We're in a competition with the Glover Show.
Are we?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so help. Help us.
Help us.
All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of our show. Come back tomorrow. We're going to do this whole thing over at 10 o'clock.
We'll ideally new topics.
Yeah. You know, we're not going to rehash the same old stuff, but we're going to do this whole show again. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji, we are back with you at 10 o'clock tomorrow. It is the Chris and Amy Show. Dave Glover is next. Hey, excuse me, how much is a box of magic?